with just a little bit of biographical stuff, like when and where you were born and clan information and just stuff like that. Okay, this is Dave Jensen. Why don't you tell me when you were, when and where you were born?
I was born in Kluwak on February 11th, 1954.
Hmm.
And my clan is Raven Dog Salmon.
Say 54?
Mm-hmm.
You're a year younger than I am.
And I'm chief designate of the Raven Dog Salmon.
Hmm. That's quite an honor, I think. How did, when you were growing up, did you have any relatives that were carvers, or did you see carvers? You know, was that something that you were interested in from the time you were small, or how did you begin your interest in carving?
Well, I always liked working with wood. My uncle helped me to, or taught me a lot about carpentry and building and stuff, so. And then I liked art. So I suppose the two kind of naturally go together, but my mother encouraged me to go watch Dale Harlow, who was carving silver at the time. And I finally decided to go, and then I suppose what got me started was a class at the Heritage Center taught by Jack Hudson. It was two-dimensional carving. And I think that was in 79. And then I took as many classes as I could, but a lot of times with the work schedule and stuff, it's hard to take them all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you get hooked up with Nathan?
Oh, let's see. I just heard about the Arts Council's apprenticeship program. And I applied, and I suppose I'd seen Nathan at most of the classes. I don't think I ever took a regular class from him, but he came and told me that he'd be willing to help me with you know, any questions or problems that I had. So I was able just to go to him, and he'd help me with my carving or drawing or whatever I was working on. So I talked to him. The only other person that I'd asked about a apprenticeship or apprenticing under was Robert Davidson, and I suppose I could have, but I wasn't fast enough for Robert. If you get a chance to work with Robert, you have to follow through right away, or forget it. And with the family, it's too hard to relocate to Vancouver. I don't think he was in Vancouver then. I forget where he was. But ended up with the apprenticeship under Nathan for Bentwood Boxes. And
when was that?
Oh, I think it was 82. 81 or 82. Getting to be a while ago.
So what did you work on?
Bentwood Boxes.
Tell me about the apprenticeship.
Let's see, that was a grant from the Alaska State Council on the Arts for $2,000, and they encouraged paying more on the artist's fee than for materials or tools and stuff, so.
But tell me about working through the apprenticeship itself.
Well, we tried to start, you know, regular work days, a regular work schedule, and I forget how many hours we decided it was going to work out to, but we just pretty much started out with working on the designs and stuff for a box, and just how they were carved, and spent a lot of time working on tools. And
making your own tools?
So I suppose the first major job at Nathan's was cleaning the shop, so I could sit in the room for both of us to work. It wasn't as nice as the one he has now. It was about a 8x20 foot shed with a little wood stove in it. It was a cold winter. But I worked on masks and other things at the same time. We built some steam boxes for making the bend. And I suppose my interest was with the culture to try to preserve, or you know, learn through being around the people that knew about the culture and our history and language. Nathan has a pretty good handle on the language. I've learned some words from him. I need to learn a lot more.
Did you speak mostly in English or in Clinkett?
English. I don't think we'd communicate very well in Clinkett.
So you learned more than just carving and design. Was that a pretty important part of your learning experience?
For me it was. Well, it's called a primitive art, but I don't know, I don't really agree with that term. It's the, well, I don't know, you can just look at it.
Well, tell me about some of the things that you learned, or how that happened, at least, during this learning time. What else you learned besides the carving that had to do with your traditional culture or heritage? And how did that come about? Did you ask questions, or did Nathan just tell you? Or?
Well, I suppose I asked a lot of questions, and he was willing to share a lot of things that, you know, that you just topics that would come up, I suppose. Fishing and hunting and food preparation and preserving foods, I suppose. And we did spend some time out in the boat, you know, we'd take a break once in a while and go fishing or get firewood.
Just to go back a little bit, you said that you learned carpentry from your uncle. Was that like, was that a traditional uncle-nephew type of relationship where he was teaching you what he knew, or was that just something that happened?
Well, all of my uncles have taught me one thing or another, or you know, either fishing or hunting or some sort of skill that I could use. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty traditional. I'm not sure if it would have been the same. My dad died when I was 5, so they were there a lot of the times to fill in. Mm-hmm. And my uncle was living with us at the time and remodeling the house, so I learned a lot about woodworking from him. And other things, cooking. And
So, what are you doing now with your woodworking?
Oh, not much. I've worked on some tools lately, and a little bit of drawing, and trying to finish a canoe. I have a hat in the works, and just setting up a new drawing board, so a little bit more active than I've been lately, but trying to get a few projects lined up, bowls and stuff. I have a few things that I'd like to have carved for the clan. I'd like to have a pole carved for Quahog, a dog salmon pole, and a hat, a staff. that I'll have to hire somebody else to do that. Wouldn't be traditional to carve them myself.
Why's that?
You have it done by the opposite side. Like there's the raven on one side and then eagle on the other side, so
well,
see somebody from the other side.
You'd have to hire somebody from the eagle side to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a traditional way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Bill Holm downstairs and he said that there was always, I mean, in fact he did mention that, was that you hired somebody from the other side and that was always the traditional way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were always carvers for hire. You know, it wasn't just somebody in your family said, "Hey, I need this. Go do this." It was always somebody for hire, and you always hired somebody on the other side. I didn't know that. So a lot of these guys that I've talked to, they're making it their main occupation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not your main occupation.
No. Tried that a few times. Worked with Nathan on a couple of poles and stuff, and I suppose it would have worked out a little better. Wayne and I do well together, but I don't know. There aren't too many other people that I can work with. I like to just be able to get the job done instead of making it last. And some people like to make the job last for some reason, just busy with other things or waiting for somebody else to do it. And so it helps to find a good partner. And I don't really feel like I'm ready to do it all myself. You know, I can probably carve a pole myself, but I think it'd probably be more valuable if I had some help.
Well, can you tell me anything that you thought was especially valuable that you learned during that time? Was anything that might have gone beyond the carving? You said that was important for your culture and tradition. Why was that so? What did it mean to you?
I don't know if I have an answer for that.
Well, do you still go to Nathan sometimes when you need to know something?
Oh yeah. He's always there. All I have to do is call or he'll call once in a while just to see what's going on. Try to encourage me to get going again.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to. It's just right now I'm in the middle of remodeling my house, a major remodel, and it's been about 2 years now, so it's time to finish it up. I get going on it, and then I go carve a pole. And last time I got going on it, and the wife told me to go back to work again.
Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of other responsibilities, and you've got a family too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being a chief takes up a good deal of your time, I imagine, too.
And then recently I'm getting involved with the A&B and been on the Planning Commission for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been interesting.
Well, have you taken this knowledge that you've learned and passed it on at all?
When I get a chance. I'm trying to do the A&B. Set up a kind of an educational curriculum for the Native students, that, so they have something besides, you know, most of what you see in Alaska history is how many flags flew over Wrangell and, you know, when Baranoff got here, about the traders and stuff, but not too much about the Tlingits or the Haidas. And I'd like to develop some sort of teaching material or plan where they could, you know, the kids could learn about that and the heritage and culture and history, rather than, you know, waiting until they decide to ask the questions. So. And the art, too. It's going to be a big project.
How old are your kids?
Let's see. Our youngest one is 7 months old. We've had him for about 6 months. He was a month old when we first got him. And then we have a 4-year-old daughter and a 13 or 14-year-old boy and a 17-year-old girl. So we have three of our own, and then one they adopted and then a foster boy. We had two other ones a couple days ago. We had five, or six for a week.
Well, how's, your 13 and 14-year-old boys, have they expressed any interest in carving, or?
We have some of their tools made, and been working on food and stuff like that.
Have you been doing the teaching, or?
Hoping to get some bigger projects going. You guys been doing anything on that carving shed?
I think everybody's here. I was out as I took a ride up the back from yesterday to look around. I think we have a carving shed. Well, do you have anything you'd like to add or say in conclusion or to talk about? Talk about the apprenticeship with Nathan, or just
anything like that? No, I guess not. It was fun. And I suppose if I we spend a lot of time on the tools, so didn't get many boxes. I suppose if I was going to get into the art, I'd have to just drop everything else and go full time, and it's just not something I can do right now, but eventually I'd like to make it a livelihood.
Do you think it'd be important for your kids to learn this?
It's interesting enough that, you know, it stimulates their curiosity, and then it's enough of an activity too that they enjoy it. So just for the enjoyment, and then to be able to preserve the preserve it as culture, and then, you know, learn all the other things that come along with it. You know, there's just everything else kind of comes up along the way, fishing and life in general, I suppose.
Okay, great.